From Polycast, the official podcast of a Appleton Civilization site at appleton.net. Cut. Snippets of what did not make it into the final episode for episode 16.
Was it yours to take?
Yes.
No.
Shouldn't have disappeared.
Shouldn't have disappeared. Shouldn't have disappeared 2 months.
Well,
oh,
you weren't smart enough to take advantage of that.
Dang.
Dan has no good comeback for that.
I'll think of one later and insert it in. That sounds really good. Wow, Dan's witty. I never knew. No.
Power of editing.
All right, I'll incorporate that. All right.
I mean, especially if you park just off of a city that's going to end up. Forgive me, I forget the term. You know, when you a monopoly. Excuse me. When you have a city that's a monopoly and the trade route's going into it, you can rack them on up. And of course, then they got to come outside the city to get you.
That's a very specific strategy for Colter Power 1. Didn't work in Colter Power 2, and I don't think Civ 4 will have monopolies as well. So
right. Okay.
The only thing that I dislike about Corporation so far is I guess the Eurogamer preview had a picture of what the Corporation guy would look like, and it looks like a very cheesy, I guess what some of us made fun of in Call to Power, kind of the cheesy guy in the suit with a big briefcase with money open. And it looked almost like the televangelist type of thing and called the...
With the television on his head?
Yeah, yeah, and it almost looked that, that cheesy, and it was like, I hope they change that. I mean, that just looks bad.
That was so poignant, though.
Well, you see, Imran, these guys have very good lawyers, and when they found out the Call to Power series was done, they made it right away.
That's what it was.
I mean, maybe just having a guy in a suit with, like, a briefcase under his arm, rather than this guy who's kind of has his arms out with the briefcase, and you see the money, it just looks very ridiculous and over the top.
Unless it looked like you, in which case that...
I agree with that, but we have seen some units that are mid-animation, so maybe, hopefully, this will be something that's mid-animation and not what it usually looks like, because I agree that that's really cheesy.
It is. And, Wooter, I thank you so much over the years for your patience with me. An old grandpa troll trying to learn how to write code. How is the multiplayer community with Civilization? Do you drop, like we're dropping calls here, do you drop players a lot, or is it pretty stable with a minimal amount of players?
I can't answer that one.
I don't do MPs, so don't ask me.
I guess I get to answer that. It depends on where you go.
Right.
I mean, the little bit of MP I play is with a group of people here from Appleton, so, and it's pretty stable, and do a turn timer in case anybody has to go away for a little bit. It's their responsibility to set their sim up for a few turns.
Amen.
It really depends on the people you play on. You go on GameSpy, people get X number of turns and realize they think they're not going to win, or they're not going to instantly win, and they're like, oh, I'm gone. And,
that's right.
Yeah. So if you're going to play, stick to friends you know. Find the people from your PBM, CBM coordinate a time, that kind of thing. The game itself is stable. Just occasional router problem.
And I'm also a little against the tanks not having much defensive power. You can't get much more defense for somebody than having a 52-ton or 60-ton, 70-ton tank. But, of course, back then they were probably in the 35 to 40-ton. Hey, Dan, I'm going over some notes here, and one thing that you hit upon was the obsolete resources issue.
Yes.
Later on in the game, if you had coal, could you take 3 to 4 times the coal to make one unit of diamond or whatever it would be by having some way to... I thought, well, that might be a little too cheesy, or maybe not.
I would think there would be some considerations of balance. Science, as well as math, is not my strong suit. Surprise! But if we're talking about having coal, I suppose if it was left in the ground, if you did not exploit a particular coal resource and that was left to its own devices, perhaps that could be an avenue to open it up to say over time. I hadn't actually thought of that before. As long as there's some balancing in there.
Man, I used to love that council. That was one of my favorite parts of Civ 2, because I always kind of pictured myself like that military commander when he'd get so frustrated and go and whoop someone.
You get drunk.
get drunk and say, arr, arr. But that was, to me, that was so entertaining. And then, of course, Elvis, Wise Men Say. I really enjoyed it. I really did. It's probably nothing that helps the game other than a little eye candy or a little entertainment purpose. I do miss that part.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
You mean we've come to a ground to agree upon, Wouter? I am so glad.
Oh, definitely.
I do.
I think this is the most requested feature for the game pretty much at this point. I've seen a lot of people ask for it. The only problem is, how are you going to implement it without making it quite as cheesy as it was?
Cheesy is good.
Anybody ever just open the AVI file and just watch them from beginning to end, like half an hour long? Oh, man, that was awesome.
I mean, I do love it, and I do enjoy it, but in the modern game, I think what is holding for X back is whether that is just too cheesy to include in a modern game. I'm not sure if I see that as a huge problem, but I think that's their reasoning.
Can you put that on your to-do list, Wooter?
Calling all mods. Modders.
Hey, Wooter, what do you always say? Yeah, that's not high on the priority list. No, I agree. That's...
I can't remember the last time I've actually modded anything. And Dan's keeping me too busy.
Shouldn't you be kicking the server about now?
It's all Dan's fault.
The scenario, World War II scenario. What would be wrong when people are predicting or asking who a leader of a country is
going
to be?
I know where this is going.
But one thing, what would be... I'm serious. You know, you didn't have Chancellor Schmidt in Germany, and I know he did atrocities, but a lot of leaders did.
True.
And I'm just wondering, if you're going to have a World War II scenario, war is ugly and everything goes along with it. So, and it pains my heart to think of some of the things that happened to people group. But what would you do with a scenario? I mean, do you pick a fictitious figure or do you pick a figure that was actually there?
Well, the biggest problem is, in some parts of the world, it's simply illegal to use figures like Hitler and Hero Hitler in games. So that's the biggest problem here.
It is illegal for Hirohito?
Hirohito is illegal to use in Japan. I know in Germany and Austria, it's illegal. Any Japanese emperor, I believe. So even Meiji or one of the other Japanese emperors, it just would not be possible.
Right, okay.
And in Germany and Austria, those kinds of countries, Hitler tends to be illegal.
Amen, for a good reason.
And I'm not even sure about Mussolini and other leaders. Makes it harder to sell the game. You have to make different versions for different countries. So I think from a practicality point of view, it would just be easiest to go with a fictional leader.
Or just give it a generic label like Axis power.
Yeah, something like that. And you have to have a leader head, probably. I mean, in a Desert War scenario, in a default game, they just went with generals, or Rommel for Germany, I guess that works.
Then Monty for England, one of the few times Monty could actually do something.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. In a perfect world, it would be nice to have Hitler at least in a scenario. Maybe not for the main game, but, you know, it's the way the world works. It's just, in some parts of the world, it's just illegal.
And I think Imran is back because I hear more background noise now.
I am. I may have to leave a little early, like in a half hour or a little over that or so. So I just want to let you know now.
I think you got a better offer on another show.
I have to use this application on a daily basis in the ready-mix concrete industry. Coal, where it's outdated in a lot of aspects because of environmental or just like for power, it's just a good enough return on your source. But we use it like a lava rock or almost like a coal for lightweight aggregate to increase spans. And I was thinking for bridge building, you could have longer bridges with coal as the aggregate, and of course they probably don't want to get into that. That's probably being a little too detailed and nitpicky, but you don't need as much steel, you don't need as much concrete. Using lightweight concrete, you don't need as much because you can widen the span of the actual bridge deck itself. And also in modern buildings where they go up, they use lightweight aggregate to decrease necessity of a bigger pile cap in the structural steel. So there are uses, and of course, like I said, that may be just too much detail to work into, but it would be a shame to just let those natural resources die.
Calling on modders out there.
Yeah. I was about to say, yeah.
That would be
just wait, someone will mod it.
Yeah.
We have precedent before. We have mentioned, hey, wouldn't it be nice if blah, and then someone actually
did
it in response to the show, which was a little freaky, but...
You guys are awesome.
Dan, there's one other question. I've been accused of not being right for me to do this, and I mentioned this earlier. What do you think's more correct? If a player, me and Dan are in a game, and he is so much stronger than I am, I mean, there's no doubt that there's no way I can defend against him, nor can I even build any sort of offensive attack to slow him down. So he is going to run over me.
Well, I'm liking this already. Yeah, keep going.
You're
going
to run over me. There's no way I can stop you. So what I do is I say, well, Dan, my people took a vote, and we're disbanding the city. Well, you can't do that. Okay, now I have a different theory on that. I think, well, I'm not going to give you these cities and let you take them to beat somebody else with. You're not going to get them. Nah, some people say, well, that's being childish. I said, no, it's not being any more childish than, Mackie, what'd you call that thing a while ago? Ganking?
Ganking?
Yeah. What's any more different than you coming in, Mackie, and just, you know, attacking the heck out of me?
Steamrolling
me. There's no way I can defense you, okay? I'm a new player, or I'm an inadequate player. I'm not as skilled as you. You're more technically proficient to me. Why is it a crime in the gaming world for me to say, sorry, you're not going to get these cities. I'm going to disband them. I just wonder, and that's just, I know it aggravates the heck out of people when I do that. They say, you can't do that. Oh, it may be that I shouldn't do it, but I can certainly do it. I just proved it.
Yeah, it's more of the shouldn't do it thing. I think a lot of people think of it as being unsporting, I guess.
Well, yeah, right. That's like shooting a petting deer, right? You don't shoot a petting deer. You pet it.
Yeah.
You feed it. Let your babies or your grandchildren pet it. You don't go up there with a gun and say, bang, I just shot me a deer. Okay, what is different than me saying, well, you're not going to get these?
In some multiplayer, especially some of the diplomacy games, you get the option to say, well, I want to stay in the game and keep playing, but, you know, what if I just help out on the research or something? And vassal states now gives you sort of more of that option, but regular game, I'm not sure, though.
Yeah, I'm just curious why.
I don't know how it's any different from what I did in one of the Saturday games where I basically whipped my cities down to near next to nothing population, producing defensive units, and held somebody off for another 100 turns or so. I was out of the game, but
there you go.
They weren't going to get my cities that easily.
Yeah, when it comes to disbanding cities, it's always seemed to be you either disband cities and it's an absolute, or you can't disband cities and it's an absolute. Perhaps, in addition to what Mackie's saying, perhaps some of the consideration behind that is that it's not so much the concept, but it's the implementation. I always thought it was too easy to disband cities. For example, if you're, oh yeah, I don't want the city anymore, it's disbanded. Perhaps there should be some kind of mechanism where if you try to disband a city, depending upon, for example, how many units you've got in the city, how strong those units are, whether or not they're fully healed or what have you, that there might be some resistance to disbanding the city, something more strategic. Because just to be able to say a city can't be disbanded, you can't move people out to another location, that's, I don't think that's realistic. But at the same time, just to be able to click and say gone also seems overly simplistic. So maybe there's a middle ground in there we could work towards.
Call the power had it where you couldn't disband above a size 3. So in my theory, where you're in a, kind of later in the game and they're rolling over you, you got a size 18 city, and all of a sudden here's a space plane just dropped a bunch of Marines to a city beside you and wiped them out. Now you're next because you know you can't defend upon them. You can't do that.
Well, what if you had a size city 3 or larger and you decided you want to disband it? Could you just starve it?
Well, you could, but I wouldn't do it overnight.
The size 18 city is not going to drop to 3 in a couple of turns, which is about how far away the Marines are.
Yeah, especially later in the game, you got railroads where they're going to be right there anyways. And
if you were able to disband it maybe and just turn it to, that might be, especially a city that size, maybe that's part of the consideration. Maybe that's be too much instant gratification. Maybe it's just the way it's just been implemented so far, in addition to people thinking it's kind of a weaselly thing to do.
Wooter, excuse me, Aaron. I was looking over here at security under regular buildings because where there's an offensive attack, there has to be some sort of defense for the civilization. So offensive attack being espionage, there's a regular building that's available, and I can't see where it's available to just one civ. I think it's available to everybody called Security Bureau. Makes it harder for enemy spies to perform missions. But then again, the intelligence agency boosts espionage point production. So I wonder, with the espionage feature, and I know that you have an NDA.
Exactly. If it's not in the article, I can't tell you anything. So.
Now that I've seen all of them in action, I think that the Great Spy Unit should look... I'm thinking... I know a lot of people like Connery, but I'm thinking it should look like Brosnan. I think Brosnan looks the most suave of all of them.
Suave?
I'm sure there's some mod out there that will help make your dream come true there, Imran.
No, I'm saying in terms of the great spy unit that they have for the game.
I think she'd look like Austin Powers.
Oh, that would be fun.
Ew. Behave.
Coming soon to a mod near you.
Yeah.
You know what I think ninjas need? I think they need some good marketing. I think the ninjas need a theme song.
They already have a theme song. Never heard of...
Oh, it's real.
No.
Wow. So you can actually talk to ninjas at live or just chat?
Yes, I've heard of that.
It's a video podcast. You should.
Dan runs it.
It's a video, like a vidcast, yeah.
Yeah.
No, honestly.
Really? Hey, Dan, and actually, modern day ninjas could be corporate raiders.
There you go.
I'm serious now. We were talking earlier about the televangelist, how numb that unit looked like. It was ridiculous, but I know it was chosen for a particular reason because a lot of televangelists are ridiculous. They're not there to serve the Lord. They're there to serve self. So I'm just saying, you know, without getting to that can of worms, but what I'm saying is a corporate raider could look like anything.
No, they could look like the, you ever see the beginning of...
Yeah.
They could look like that.
Wasn't a fan of but...
Uh-oh. I don't even know you anymore.
Young walk this way. No, like this. But that was pretty good.
Walk this way. Hey, everybody.
Oh, and.
Thanks.
Where did I go?
That is one thing I do miss, is the paratrooper, be able to drop in behind enemy lines. And I'm glad that, you know, in a lot of games, they don't make them overpowerful because the paratrooper isn't. They're a light, mobile assault force for urban environment. They're not an armored division where they're going to bring everything from artillery to tanks to helicopters in. That's not what paratroopers are. I'm going to have to say I'm in favor for them, as long as they're not overpowering. They teach you that in the infantry school. No, I'm not talking about MacGyver now. I mean, gosh, they'd be like a superhuman unit. But, you know, I think you ought to be able to have an anti-tank unit, and he doesn't have to carry in a shoulder-mounted unit. There's a lot of anti-tank. I mean, you put a Claymore mine down in the path of a tank, a tread, and you ignite it, you're going to tear that tread off. And guess what, folks?
Tank
check a tank
it.
Out. It don't move if you don't have no tread on it. Well, it'll move around a circle if you have one tread.
It's not going anywhere, really.
That's right, yeah. Exactly. So, well, I don't think it should be in a modern armor powerful, but I think it ought to have some impact on your units.
Hey, guys, I'm going to have to head out, so...
Okay.
Are you not been dismissed?
Are you sure your guest doesn't want to listen to how a podcast episode is recorded? I mean, did you even make
sure.
That offer?
That's okay.
We need to see your time card on this.
All right, but anyway, it has been fun.
Okay. Sorry you have to go early, Imran, but thank you for joining us.
Oh, no problem. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Any final words of wisdom? Or words, anyway?
I have no wisdom.
That's what I'm kind of getting at.
Wow.
Okay.
Pathetic.
Take it easy, guys.
See you.
All right.
Bye.
And ladies.
Bye.
Bye.
He's not gone.
Yeah. Imran hasn't hung up yet. What's going on? Whoa.
Oh.
Hey, that sounded like he had the cell phone back on vibrate or something. It was on ringtone before, but I wonder if he just left but didn't hang up the call.
Oh, well.
Very possible.
Oh, shh.
What do you mean, Polly?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Waste our time.
Hey, Summer.
What?
It's more.
It's everyone. Hello.
How you doing?
So we're thinking.
Where can I place call, please?
For dinner at 7. And
okay, what movie would you like to see?
7
at Paradise,
maybe?
Yeah, okay. Right now.
Everyone pop some popcorn and a drink. We got another show.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll see you then.
What?
Changing the life of Imran.
Is it?
What's the name of the movie we're going to see?
No, I said at the Paradise at 7, and I guess I'll see you there.
No, you won't.
The That's not what you said, Emmerich. That's not what you said. I heard you the first time.
Yeah, yeah. So, new card I said 7? All right, here's the plan. All right. And then afterwards we'll eat. Or afterwards we'll watch movies. All right, bye.
Edit? What? This could be our new breakthrough segment. Finally bring over and Will and all those other naysayers.
Wig laugh.
Oh, yeah, there we go. That's the other one.
We'll have by her. tastes like chicken.
I guess we're going to go. So we
may call back. I think he really doesn't realize he didn't turn it off.
I don't think so either.
The toilet?
That's the toilet, man! Stop it, he bring me the plunger!
Do you have America's funniest home audio shows or something? Because we need a budget.
I have the feeling this is going to be a very long cut.
Yeah. It'll make great material for cut.
Oh my word. New statistics reveal that cut more popular than Polycast itself. Polycast canceled, only cut. Oh, it sounds like the Imran show was over. It was just getting good. It was a slow start. I mean, who cares about whether you're reading or watching a movie? I think he's gone now.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very quiet. I think Imran has left the building.
I think I'll hang up on Imran now so we get rid of that background noise.
All right.
You think it's safe to hang up on Imran now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. I think I should do a ceremonial countdown. Just... Oh, we dropped!
Oh, my gosh. What happened?
How rude, man.
It's mine now.
I used to love to camp in shooter games. Why? Because some people like to run around, but camping to me was a little fun. Find some place and start picking people off when they come out of a certain area. Right, and I don't think that's like a negative thing. All you could do is get a little bit more powerful unit and say, you know what? You've been called home. Goodbye. You would think an elephant would be kind of like the old Leviathan in Call of Power. You wouldn't be able to move very fast, and it would take you a long time to move across. You know, elephants need to be fed, and they got them short, stubby legs and that big body. That can't be good to try to move them fast in war. What's y'all's take on that? I never used elephants when I played. Were they that powerful? I know they're powerful, but were they that good of a unit?
They're pretty good.
What, you mean Civ 4?
Yeah.
They're a nice cavalry-type unit counter early on.
Right.
Especially someone, if you get the Mongols next to you and they come up with a stack of horse archers, the elephants can pretty much tear them up.
Right.
Yeah. Or if you don't have access to horses.
Yeah.
And they're pretty strong units in the fields. You don't want to attack a city with them, probably, but that 8 strength value is pretty damn good if you can get it.
Right.
Because getting it is the problem, because elephants are pretty rare.
You need ivory?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of having scenarios of war events, Napoleonic Wars. Me and Patty Moto, we are in a massive, it's a scenario for Civ 3, which me and Patty play a lot of these scenarios back and forth, and they're a lot of fun, with the exception of you can't tell what a battle was, and you can't have stacked combat, but that's something I'd like to see more of in the future in Beyond the Sword, is where you had more scenario availability, like Charlemagne, Renaissance, and perhaps even a war between the French, Indian, English on American soil during the War of Revolution. I'd like to see some of them, too. I don't know what they're going to ship with exactly, because it only lists a few here. So
We don't know exactly. I definitely agree that really I want to see more scenarios.
Ganking is so bad as a concept because it boils down to bullying, is what it is. Higher level players, he's low level player, goes, oh, I'm going to kill you just because I can. So, that's why people don't like those two.
Then everybody ganks me. Because I'm a low level player. Gank of Gramps. Okay, that's sex on him, but you know.
Hey now, this is a family friendly show.
Right.
Well, what do you think the Saturday game is like for me most of the time? And I go into it willingly. Even though I know I'm probably going to get beaten.
But that's where you learn.
Wow.
I mean, that's where you learn how to become
it's
better.
True.
How about around the time of Statue of Zeus?
Maybe. I don't know exactly. I should know, since I've played the game, but I don't know all the stats.
You know what, or you could have just said you did know, but you didn't tell us.
No, but I could have said that.
It's a need-to-know basis, yeah. And don't.
No.
That's what I give my guys.
Well, I honestly don't know when, and if I did, I couldn't tell you, but it's very clear from all the stuff that we've read that it's an early game thing. So it's not something that will only become available in the 18th century, or at least at that point in the tech tree. It should be much earlier.
Hey, I think everybody beats me in Call to Power. I am just amazed at how they do these things, but I'm starting to pick up a little at a time how they're doing it. And I think in the Civilization later games like Warlord and then, of course, Beyond the Sword, which is coming up here, I think you can start to build on these. And I'm pretty sure that ever since the gaming came out, there's somebody, as soon as it's invented, somebody is looking a way to exploit it. And there's some folks there who are technically proficient and can process this information, somebody like Wouter, who's very experienced with IT. I'm not saying you would, Wouter, but you could possibly look at the files and say, hey, this does this, this does this. So in theory, if you did that, yeah, that'll work, and try it out. And guess what? You find a way around the intended purpose of this. And I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying you would, but that's how some people do it, is they find it, which, you know, and that's cool with me, because then I'll try to learn it too and learn how to defend against these attacks. But I'm pretty sure that's been going on since day one of gaming.
Oh, sure, and I think it's a good thing. I know somebody might say, oh, people trying to find exploit, that's a bad thing, but you might think you've implemented something, and you've seen everything. You've looked at it at every angle, but you get a fresh pair of eyes in there, and they go, hey, look at how someone could exploit the game. Then you go, oh, geez, look at that, and then you can work to address it in the interim, say before an official fix, whether it's in a patch or a future expansion or what have you. So that way the game is just that much tighter. You could say, well, I thought of 9 out of 10 ways that this could be exploited, or I know there are 10 ways that this can be exploited, but I can only fix 9. Is there someone out there that might have an idea on how we can close that gap?
I don't consider an exploit a cheat. I mean, you know, I don't want us to have to go into a whole thing of cheating and stuff. I consider a cheat when somebody takes like a hex editor on a save, okay, or has a hack to add gold or public, well, not public works in this, but I mean some way that you can add like a free unit every now and then. That's a cheat, okay? But an exploit to me is a way, well, it'd be like the days when people had castles and big forts, okay? Well, you can't take a horse and run up that fort and just have the horse whinny out front and beat it. You've got to figure a way, and it may be digging trenches and bringing in your big cannons and just pounding it, and then pounding the supports of the door. That's a way to exploit, because that fort can't move. It's built. It can't redeploy. So I don't think exploiting has a negative connotation in all applications. I think it's healthy to learn how to beat method or however the intended use was. I'm not thinking that it's a negative thing. Of course, that's just 2 cents from an old grandpa troll.
Indeed.
Yeah, that's just...
Oh, you done, Bruce? Okay.
Did somebody fall asleep?
All right.
No, oh, wow. Did you do that to yourself, Bruce, or was that what?
It was a little joke, you know. It was like the pause, the deafening pause. It's like that commercial for the phones.
Oh, that was just awkward silence giving his opinion.
Yeah.
Give them stupid city names, Stupid Head and Loserville, and we're breaking away because of the stupid name you gave our city. How dare you?
Dan needs to play some NP. He'd say plenty of strange names.
Okay, anything else from Beyond the Sword? We missed?
Yeah, 2 more things. 1 very small one.
Did we finally kill Beyond the Sword? Not, but you know what I mean.
Oh, this is a very helpful talk.
Well, for this polycast, perhaps. But exactly. Next time, I'm sure we'll have even more.
It only took 2 hours.
Only.
And that's just the news.
Only. What bothers you about Civ 4? Nothing. Civ 4 is perfect. I love Civ 4. It is cool. There we go. Firaxis, send me free stuff.
One of my favorite games is The Conquerors from Ages of Empire 2, because it's so easy to mod, to set up scenarios where, you know, you build yourself a nice fort, and then you take on 3 or 4 AI, and, you know, you can build a map. I mean, I'm not talking about making it, cheating it so you know where you can lose, but you can really mod it easy, and that's one thing I liked about ROM, was you can fairly easily mod it. put more on the bottom line. That's one thing I like about micromanaging something, not to the point where it's a turnoff, but to the point where you can actually control more behind the scenes and get things to do things for you. So that's one thing I enjoyed about Ron. It kept me to it. And to me, it was a lot similar to Dawn of the Modern World. I did enjoy that, and it actually fits in 1 and 2 slot on my tower here beside my computer. I just reinstalled it here recently, and I am going to take time, and I'll probably play it for a good month or more, and then, of course, move on to something else.
And, of course, I've been doing stuff with Rise of Nations in a very abstract sort of way for a year and a half or 2 years, as many people know, with Age of Nations, and I'm not going to digress into that at this point. That's another conversation entirely, but again, as Mackie said, RTS Civ.
Hey, I do have one editorial comment to make, and it always tickled me to hit back on Call of the Power because I played that so long, but people cry when a game ships with, I don't know if you want it, for lack of better words, moddability. I'm talking not where you mod it and behind the scenes, but you can pick, like, starting age, end of age. You can pick extra resources or minimal resources, whatever. It ships with that game. Why is that such a problem if a game ships with it, just for lack of better word, Call of Power? You can start Renaissance and Modern. You can exclude your stealth units. Why do you think people are so down on that when that's the way the game ships? I've had this argument for years with people. That's the way it shipped. It was an option. They said, that's not the way it was meant to be. Then why did they ship with it?
That's the first time I heard this, actually. As far as I know, everyone is really happy about this, and people have been clamoring for more in this, and that's the reason why there's so many options in Civ 4, because a lot of people do want more options and more abilities and more ways to play the game.
Well, yeah, but then there's that group of people that have to have everything turned off just so it's pure skill.
Yes.
I have to confess, I'm a nasty little nuke meister sometimes. I play with pollution off in my Call of Power games. Why? Because if it's on, they know you're building nukes.
Mm-hmm.
But they say, no, I'm not playing with you anymore with the pollution on, because that's wrong. Well, boo-hoo, that's an option the game gave you, just like Bloodlust on or Bloodlust off. That's why I'm just curious for you great gamers out here that have played a lot over the years and been exposed to it for probably longer than I have, why? I guess it's just because of tastes.
Yeah, if you're talking about preferences at which people want to play,
right?
Yeah, everyone has their own preferences, and that, I guess, that is the biggest downside of having so many options.
Right.
Because, you know, everyone has their own set of favorites, and they don't want to play anything else. Yeah, that can be a problem in multiplayer. But I think certainly for single player, I mean, everyone is happy with all these options that Ron and also Civ 4 offer. I think everyone thinks that's a good thing.
Well, my wife calls me an aggravating sometimes. I can't believe she'd call me that. 22 years, you know. Why? Why me, honey? I'm a nice, lovable type guy. You can be an but she, that's why she liked
my... Would you like me to cut that?
No, you can keep that in there. Hey, that's why I like the term troll, because that's what I used to do, and Appleton Horse gave me that, and I just thought it was funny. Nothing malicious. I would just try to bait people and have some fun with it, but I've learned that you can't do that now that I've got the shiny Red Dad staff member.
Shiny!
Shiny! I thought you liked that, Dan. That's a +2 kiss-up. Thank you.
10 seconds or less.
10 seconds or less? This could take me longer to think of that. Don't play against Dominic. You're going to lose.
There was one particular map that was divided by a river. I'm not sure if it was, because I play so many different games, I think it was called East, West, or something, continents, or basically you fought across the continent and deployed across the river to attack the other civ. Specifics about some of the different civs. Some had it, like you build an extra city. I don't remember if that was Bantu or not. Wooder, do you remember? Were they the one with the extra city?
Oh, God. I don't remember. It's been too long.
And also, if the where I'm rethinking of pillaging is farther away from my empire or the core of my empire, and especially if you just had a war and your units are kind of far away and they're in the vicinity and they're otherwise damaged, even considerably. I remember having one cavalry that was like 1 out of 16 going around and pillaging. Nobody was really paying attention. I was still actually at war with another nation, and they just left it alone while I went and pillaged. I had no idea why, but it didn't know what to think of me.
Probably that you weren't much of a threat.
That was a mistake. You had a question specifically about the Bantu. I have the official strategy guide in my hands right now. What was it about?
Each civilization had one could build an extra wonder or an age earlier, but one of them you could build an extra city.
Oh, okay. I see here Bantu. Plus one city limit with civics level one.
There you go.
Yeah.
I usually chose those because of the extra city. And then, of course, the other one was appealing, and gosh, was you could actually build wonders and age early. And I liked how the borders changed. I really enjoyed that in Ron, where the borders fluctuated
as
you spread. It wasn't like, you know, your border just stayed like a static line. This one actually was moving as people moved in on you. And I really enjoyed that aspect, too.
God, there was so much stuff in that game.
I think these were generals. They were in jeeps. These are generals or military leaders. They were.
Yeah. Well, I think some other RTSs have that as well.
I had to try to set up a long game to play because I enjoy those long, methodical, what you call them earlier, Wooter, micromanaging. That's something I enjoy doing. I don't mean in a negative context.
By the way, it's suddenly awfully quiet now, Maki's gone.
Yeah, she had a lot of background noise, too.
Wow. She was always the quietest one.
Vista's fault. Episode 15 is
yeah. I was about to say.
She was the quietest one. Who was the noisiest?
Imran.
Imran, yeah, now Maki, apparently.
Wow. Wow, Imran and Maki got really quiet, but then look at them in the ending. Wow, they really bounced back. Good for them.
They were deep in thought.
That's right.
You can edit in a few,
Blah?
Let's mention Mac at some point, and you can replay the toilet sound for Imran.
I'll show you what I think of your Mac. Well, maybe Imran will finally get the hate mail he so desperately desires. I guess the only thing I add is a kind of semi-related point. I know back in an earlier episode we were talking about our favorite civics. I think we were all kind of gaga over free market. Then we talked about, oh, well, maybe state property, where you get the plus one food from not only workshops but watermills. And I have found one game I had recently, I was looking for places to expand, and the AI was pretty aggressive. I actually do play with aggressive personalities most of the time, whatever level I'm on, which is Warlord, by the way. Secret revealed.
Liar. We know you play a Dan level. That's why you went to Phyrexis.
Yeah, but anyway, in the game, there was nowhere to expand except north into the ice, but there was quite a bit of rivers running through it, and there were quite a few hills. And so I found that as switching to state property civic, and of course this is obviously later in the game when I have cities to support, larger cities, I find switching to state property and then putting water mills along the river and putting windmills along the hills, I could actually come up with some semi-decent sized cities. And by semi-decent size, I mean like 3, 4, 5, 6. It just made settling the Arctic and Antarctic, if that applied also, cities more viable in the later game. Most other AIs weren't doing that. They were kind of leaving it alone, except once I started doing it, then all of a sudden they were very interested in what I was doing. Bastards.
Well, I mean, you have to wonder how much, even if the cities are size 4 or 5, how much they really contribute to your entire empire.
That's right.
You're probably better off having fewer cities, but really focusing on them and creating all that extra gold that you get from free market and put that into science or whatever and just focus on winning the game. I mean, it's a great strategy if you want to cover the entire map, but if you're actually interested in actually winning the game at some point, maybe it just detracts from that. I don't think it makes it easier or faster to win.
Well, I was already the cultural and the military powerhouse, and I was already about 85-90% of the way through the tech tree, so I was getting bored.
Ooh. Well, then you build an army. And you conquer yourself some empires.
And make more fun of. What?
Bad dog, no business.
All in a. Left me a note, but it was mostly for tell Mackie. We didn't quite get to it, so I'll have to save that for next
time. No, please. What was he saying to Mackie?
Well, Mackie, we're kind of a little going at it, the barbs back and forth about the original vanilla Civ 4 democracy game.
Mm-hmm.
And, very happy because his team continues to shoot ahead and score. They got three wonders in three turns.
Nah, he's a little too happy.
They've apparently built the Oracle, then the Pyramids, then the Colossus.
Ooh.
What you gonna do, Mackie? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna
when
do?
When they come, boo. Come. Bad.
I needed another reason to sing.
Yeah, it's also a civilization show.
What? It is?
Huh? What?
Just a second. I thought we were talking about President talking about Mac users. So, I don't know. We're kind of diluting the focus a little, so.
Yeah.
What's a little more?
I guess in this case was the case with Grand Patrol here.
Now Mackie's
yeah,
gone.
Now Mackie's gone.
What timing?
So that doesn't help.
Oh, hey guys.
Yeah, you gotta go.
That's my conference call.
Okay.
All right, I'll catch y'all later.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.
And then there were two.
And there were two. Maybe this is an Iron Man competition.
Yeah.
I'm gonna last longer than you here. And I'm gonna get. Wait, what's the prize?
You get to edit the whole episode?
Don't I get that anyway?
I hope so. Because I don't need to do that again.
Yeah, you don't want to do that again? Thank you for listening to Polycast, episode 16. It's just Motor and I now. We kicked everyone else off.
We rule!
Thank you for listening to episode 16 of Polycast. I'm Daniel Quick. I'm back. Yay! Imran was back. Say goodbye, Imran. Insert bye here.
Okay.
Mackie. Insert Mackie bye here. Grand Patrol, known as Bruce Concrete in real life. Insert Grand Patrol goodbye here. And Wouter, Snyder's known as Locutus on the forums. Insert, oh no, wait, you're here.
Damn, you stole my joke. I was going
to
say that.
I don't know, a lot of stuff. That was good. I like that. Ooh, stuff. What are they going to talk about? I don't know. Do you know? No, we better listen. Find out.
All right. That's her up, I think.
I hope so. My God.
Copyright 2007, a Bolton Civilization site at apolton.net.